Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to find time in your schedule to join me today. We're going to continue right on in a message I began on yesterday's broadcast entitled, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. And we were looking at the life of John the Baptist to see what lessons and what understanding and revelation we can gain from his life, because Jesus made a very interesting comment about him. He said, among man born of woman, there was none greater than John the Baptist. And so we want to understand why Jesus had such a high estimation of him. And we, in order to do that, we want to take a look at the character of John the Baptist and the importance of his mission, his ministry, and to apply meaning and significance for us today. Does it have any relation to where we're at today? Well, John was great before the Lord. He was great in his personal character. He was great among his fellow men. And we were looking yesterday how he was great before the Lord, that he had, first of all, of course, to be right with God as we do. And then there was an availability, a readiness to be used of God, to obey God. And as I brought the broadcast to a close yesterday, we were looking at what the angel of the Lord told John's father, that he would be filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know under the old covenant, only the prophet, the priest, and the king would at times experience the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Unlike where God's children are today, on the day of Pentecost, that was the birth of the church, where the Spirit of God was poured out freely to whomsoever will. All who would believe and receive Jesus have the wonderful privilege and invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, just as Jesus was. Remember, he never began his public ministry until he was baptized of John. And of course, John objected. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord said, suffer it now to fulfill all righteousness. And as he came up out of the water, John heard of the voice of the Father and saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus like a dove, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. And from the Hebrew point of view, Zacharias couldn't really understand that. And from that Hebrew perspective, this promise conveys the thought of the highest prophetic inspiration. And there's a reference in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 2, referring to the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And it talks about the seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. There's a marvelous passage I'm sure you're familiar with in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And Jesus stood up in the synagogue and he read that one day. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Praise God. And of course, Jesus said, this day is this saying fulfilled in your ears. Praise God, what a wonderful, wonderful message this was, that the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. And there's a marvelous reference that applies to us found in the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets, chapter 2, verse 28. And the Lord spoke by the prophet to say, "And it shall come to pass afterward," referring to the end times that we're living in, "that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, no man or female in Christ, male or female, will I pour out my Spirit." Praise God. And so we know that Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon him. Now, we don't walk in that same fullness, but I would suggest to you that each one of us are individual and particular members of the body of Christ. And functioning as the body of Christ, I believe there can be that fullness of anointing that was on Jesus when the body of Christ comes into that unity, into that perfection, unto the measure of the stature of a perfect man. Jesus is head of the body, and we are the body. So I believe the fullness, we just have a portion of his anointings. And I believe perhaps even in an individual life, there can be various anointings, the anointing of a pastor, if that could be at a time, or of anointing of an evangelist. The fivefold ministry ascension gifts are given as the Holy Spirit wills, so that the very work that Jesus started in his earthly lifetime could continue, but even in an even greater and fuller measure. Jesus told his disciples, "Even greater works than these shall ye do." So we just have a portion, but Jesus has administered the Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And because of that, we, like John the Baptist, can be great in the Lord. Now, what we're doing is looking at John, that he was great before the Lord, but also he was great in his personal character. And we can learn some important truths for our lives from his life. He says he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's the Lord's invitation to each one of us today, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not the greatness of John's own will or his purpose or his goodness, but the greatness of God was dwelling in him. Think about that. However, just as, you know, when we have God's Spirit dwelling in our physical bodies, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wow, can anything be greater than that? However, because we have that privilege, it does imply certain things for us as well as for John. He lived a life of self-denial. Now, don't cringe when you hear that. You know, we've been given the Holy Spirit to give us the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruit, if you will, is moderation and temperance in all things. We've been given richly all things to enjoy, but there's a moderation that should characterize and a self-discipline and a self-denial, that we're willing to lay down our lives for Jesus, that we're willing to say, "Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done." That we're willing to die to self, as Paul said, mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, the carnal lusts. You see, we live in bodies of clay, and all of us, I don't care how spiritual we are, we all can be tempted with the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These things, don't ever think that you're above them. You've just advance so far spiritually, you know, that you're above all that, because, beloved, until Jesus comes, none of us will be perfect. And if any of us sin, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who's praying for us. But John lived a life of self-abnegation. He was a Nazarite, the word says. And what does that mean? Well, the book of Numbers in the 6th chapter, verse 4, talked about a person, and this could be a man or a woman, who voluntarily made a choice to draw closer to the Lord. And because of that, they made a vow. They said they weren't going to touch any wine or strong drink. In fact, they wouldn't even touch any of the, not even a raisin, you know, any fruit of the vine. And that was just a symbol, if you will, as a time of consecration to the Lord. And of course, when that time was done, there were certain things they needed to do, present themselves to the priest, offer a, you know, bring sacrifices, have their hair cut, There were specific things in that vow of the Nazarite, but John, as some others, like Samson, for example, they were a Nazarite all their lives. They kept that vow as representative of a separated, consecrated life to God. And of course, this is an expression of the spiritual man. John was willing to die to himself that God might live and move through him. Just as Paul says, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that true for each one of us? Paul further says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul said that he dies daily. All of us have a cross that we have to take up and willingly follow Jesus. Oh, beloved, let me just encourage you. I don't know what you may be going through right now, but it's temporary. It's not going to last forever. And if you can just trust the Lord, Job said, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Know that God is working in your life. Whatever happens, he has allowed. There's a purpose in it, and he's going to work all things according for his express purposes, working them for good in your life. And of course, not only did John leave a life of self-denial and discipline, there was a divine motivation and heavenly wisdom. He was yielded to the will of God as he was taught to by the Holy Spirit abiding within. And think about this, beloved, all true greatness comes from him alone who is great, the God above, God Almighty, who is great in wisdom and holiness and power. David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 36, thy gentleness has made me great. That's true for each one of us, beloved. If we're filled with the Spirit, then we can be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that every thought and act may be in perfect harmony with the mind of God. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What a tremendous calling we've been given, beloved. If John the Baptist was great before the Lord, and he was great in his personal character, that's the same calling and ministry we have, that we, as a latter-day John the Baptist, if you will, can call and cry to the hearts of men, the Lord is coming, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let our hearts be prepared, let the hearts of men be prepared to receive the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming once again. Praise God. Well, I could preach for an hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for listening. We're going to continue tomorrow, and I pray you can be with us. If at any point you miss the broadcast, just go to unveilchrist.org, click on the podcast, and you can listen at it at your convenience. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.